Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 15. No, Proverbs 15. Yes, Proverbs 15, 1. Get my lesson over there. I had the wrong Proverbs 15 up. Okay, 15, 1, 16, 21, 23, and 24. Pat, would you read that, please? 15. We are starting on II number 2. We did a tail barrier, and now we're on gentle answer.
All right. I see where
we
are. 15, 1, 16, 21, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27.
Yes.
Okay. I'm up to speed. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel.
Okay. Man, if there's ever verses in the Bible that I need to apply and reacquaint myself with and pray about, and it's some of these, because the devil loves it when we fail in this. And so, unwise behavior that we all have fallen into and that we're striving to overcome, speaking in a harsh, painful, bitter, sharp, biting, angry manner. Because when we do that, don't you find that it does stir up anger? It doesn't heal anything, as we'll see what the wise woman does. It only caused more strife. And as the last verse that Pat read says, any fool can quarrel. Do we want to be wise or do we want to be foolish? Anyone can burst out with strife, you know, go looking for a fight or pick one. Or just take something, a word, whatever, you know, and go looking for the wrong side of it. And because you've got another issue, and then here it goes. And so, you know, you lash out in those ways. Wise behavior. A gentle answer. That doesn't mean speaking where somebody can hear you. Okay? You know. A gentle answer turns away wrath. And the proverb writer, the Holy Spirit, says, a discerning woman. We want to be discerning. We want to clearly recognize a situation for what it is. Sometimes, because of something going on, or because we've been hurt, or those kind of things, we color it. We don't recognize the situation and just, you know, deal with what is at the moment. We bring in all this other baggage. A discerning woman recognizes the situation for what it is and judges rightly how to proceed. That doesn't come overnight. That doesn't come without study and prayer and practice. And still, we fail. So we have to practice some more. You know, get back up. And we'll talk about some things that the devil hates to hear in a minute. And use sweetness of speech. That doesn't mean sugar pie, sweetie pie, honey bun. You know, using endearment terms of words, which is okay. But, you know, we're talking about sincere language. We're not talking about playing games and trying to be a Delilah. You know, well, that's a figure of speech there, okay, you know. So we don't need to have that kind of attitude and everything. But sweetness of speech, not false flattery, but lovable. You know, not bitter, not biting, not angry, but sweetness of speech, pleasant, pleasing, in order to persuade, to bring about common understanding, and especially if you're in a disagreement, to try to get them to understand your position, and to maybe even come on board, to heal possible cross situations. She's careful not to go looking for a fight or an argument. You don't say what you say in order just to have an argument to get your thoughts out there, you know, especially if you're disappointed about something or you disagree bitterly about something. And so, but looking for ways to diffuse. And we'll talk more about how to go about this. Any thoughts on your part, what you gained and what this meant to you as you read these scriptures? We're here to learn from one another.
No, I just put how we speak can either stir up trouble or help stop it. And we can make a matter worse if we do not deal with it with proper words and attitude.
Okay.
And the meaning.
Good thoughts. Anyone else?
Linda.
Yes.
Use my allergies. You already mentioned persuasiveness, but that really hit me when I read that.
Yes.
We're not going to persuade anybody, first of all, our husbands, if we're not behaving right.
That's exactly right.
So that just really hit me, the idea of persuasiveness. Sometimes we do need to persuade him of something. Maybe he hasn't thought about or seen.
Exactly. And we're going to look at a couple of examples down here at the end of my next point. When faced with a controversy. Yes, dear.
It seems to me that the footnote and the margin is our learning.
Our learning.
Learning to assess.
Yes.
It's easier to teach if you have the right demeanor and the right attitude. And so I just thought that was interesting. It wasn't literally, but that's
yes.
Another rendering that can be given.
Yes, and it can apply across the board. It doesn't have to be husband-wife relationship. It can be if you're dealing with someone that you're concerned about, that you see, leaving the right path and maybe some danger areas in your lives, and you go and you want to talk to them to try to get them back to the right paths, and, you know, that kind of speech and this kind, and even when you have an angry person, we've all dealt with angry people when they responded angrily at truth when you tried to tell them. So how to respond. When faced with a controversy, control your anger. Man, that's hard sometimes. Control your anger, even if you have to bite your tongue, you know. You can literally mentally put your hand over your mouth, you know, but step back. Mentally quote, this has helped me. This is just a suggestion. I learned 1 Corinthians 13:4-5 a long time ago because I had to use it a lot. Okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. Love doesn't seek his own, you know, is not arrogant, you know. So, you know. Think of 1 Corinthians 13, how love acts. You know, am I doing this because I just want to have my way? Am I doing this because it might be a better, you know, that it might be better? Am I doing it just to have an argument or seek trouble or, you know, show him up? You know, or show them up, or shout them down, whatever. You know, but love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't seek its own. So, yes.
I was thinking about how this applies. How our children see our actions. I mean, do we want our daughters to learn to approach their husbands that way?
Yes.
In anger, or they need to know how to give a gentle answer.
Right.
And
or even their siblings,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
I have a grandchild that needed to learn to control his anger. And he did not see his mother and father, you know, have at one another or have a bitter word, you know. And so when they were training him and disciplining him, he didn't see the two. He didn't see, you know, a false example versus do as I say and not as I do type of thing. Okay.
Even talking to our children, and I was one who, my last child could set my fuse, and he knew how to. He rubbed them that way.
Yeah.
But I learned with him that if I didn't control myself, he felt justified in not listening to me.
Exactly.
Because she's just mad and hard. And so I had to learn early on to speak to him with a gentle answer. And so it's not just our husbands we need
no.
to answer to.
No.
We need gentle answers with our children, because if we can learn to talk softly, Steve used to tell me, speak softly, very big stick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But that was just his way of telling me, don't let him get you where you don't want to really go.
Right. And that's one of the points. Lord willing, at another time, if we have that section on children, that's in there, you know, and some other suggestions on how to even discipline your children. We all know that that's taught by God in God's Word. So, but the how-tos and in different situations and everything. So, Lord willing, very good point, you know, to bring up now since
verses
we won't get this.
Are not, there's no way here but husband.
No,
this
no.
This is just how we,
across
as
the board,
godly people should react.
Absolutely.
It's interesting in the verse that we were talking about, the persuasiveness, if you read the whole verse, the heart of the wise instructs his mouth.
Yes.
And it's not we're instructing others, we're instructing ourselves, and adds learning to his lips, or persuasiveness to his lips. So if we want to be able to, people to honor us and respect us with God's wisdom, we've got to put it, you can be saying all the right words, but if you're saying them wrong, you're defeating your purpose, no matter who you're talking to.
That's right. And the wise woman, Proverbs 31, excuse me, the fear of the Lord, you know, is the beginning. She feared the Lord, and she spoke with wisdom. She spoke with kindness, and how she dealt, you know, in her life, and how she put on strength and dignity. I mean, you know, the beginning was because she feared the Lord, and she sought his wisdom, and she applied it to her life. And so, you know, that was the guide that we have is God's Word. The goal is to be this wise, you know, wonderful, excellent wife and a good child of God, as we talked about living for Jesus. So, sometimes you have to take time to think through a position. So, if you are at odds, may I suggest that tell him, okay, I need some time to think over, you know, what you said. Sometimes, especially if you feel this boiling up and all you want to do is strike out and give all your reasons why, and, you know, and because that leads to anger if we're not careful and not sweetness of speech. And so sometimes just say, I need some time, and make sure, this is important, make sure you understand their position. How many times has an argument happened because you haven't communicated correctly? You know, and you're off fuming about something that's not happening. And so, you know, make sure that you understand. Steve brings this up a lot in the communication section, you know, of husband and wife relationship. Okay, so, and then ask, you know what? Husbands have stresses on job. Husbands have things that they have to deal with. They get tired, or they're dealing with something, you know, emotional, or they're studying and they're trying to overcome, you know, an attitude thing. Ask them when it would be a good time to readdress. That puts the ball in their court. That gives them a sense. Now, we're doing this with the right heart and the right respect. We're not playing games. We're not, you know, trying to handle, y'all know what I mean by that, the situation. So, ask them. And then, you know, because Then when you get together, he's tuned in then to what you have to say respectfully, okay? But, so you present your things. And not emotionally. I tell you what, you know, guys, especially engineer minds like my husband, I mean, they want reasons. They want, you know, they want why. Real reasons. Why you think differently on this subject than them. So present it if you think you still have a need to. Maybe things have gone to the level that you've come on board with their thinking, you know, you've rethought and come to that conclusion. So see, that little time there not only gives them time, but you time to digest what they've said, what you think, and if it's still a need, then approach and do it. And respectfully, if he still thinks it's better, God's word is clear. Respectfully submit. Let go of your ego. Don't let it boil up. Don't write it down in your book to bring up another time when they were wrong. That's hard. I've been married. Pat's been married 51 years. I've been married 50. I tell you what, you know, memory, if you still got it, can bring up some things. Just don't let it come out of your heart and don't let it come out of your mouth. Okay? So, let go. And support. That's another thing. You know, don't start dragging your feet and I'll do it anyway. And because countenance shows a lot. Supporting. Okay. You know, Esther had a problem. And we were talking about picking time, picking the right way. She prayed. Pray when you're confronted with this thing. Lord, help me be wise. Don't let my mouth get in front of my, you know, my brain. You know, just sometimes just a quick prayer. You know, give me strength, give me wisdom, will stop unwise behavior in its tracks. Esther prayed, then she implored, she pleaded. She's used language, if it please the king, do what I request. Discretion and approach and timing.
Are you in number three?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, because a lot of that I have in number three.
Okay, good. And, you know, remember Abigail? She did it for David's good. And she did it respectfully. But she told, both of them told the facts as they were. They didn't go off on some tangent. They didn't, you know, that kind of, they told the facts. And they told them humbly and respectfully. And that's a good lesson for us. Remember Sarah in 1 Peter 3? That's in a section of being respectful and chaste behavior. And in a book that's talking about suffering. And if you go through there and mark, it's do right, no matter what, and trust in God. That's the lesson now. Okay. Any other points on that? I wanted us to, you know, really have time to discuss and get any questions or any thoughts that you all might have, because this is a very important lesson, not only in the husband-wife relationship, but with our sisters and brothers in Christ, our children, with the world. Because the world doesn't act like this, ladies. Okay? And the devil would love for us to act unwisely. And to cause anger and resentment cause problems. He loves it. Okay. Proverbs 14, 29, 15, 18, 19, 11, and James 1, 19 through 20. Let's just read the 14:29 and the 15:18 right here. 14:29 out here. He is slow to anger, has great understanding, but he is quick-tempered, exalts folly. Okay? 15:18. A hot-tempered man, woman, stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. Okay, 19:11. A man's discretion, a woman's discretion, makes him slow to anger. And it is his or her glory to overlook a transgression. And what did we learn in James 1, 19 through 20? Does anybody remember?
Slow to anger.
Right. Slow to speak. Quick to listen. Slow to anger. Okay. The unwise behavior that we all get caught up in that the devil loves. Being quick-tempered. Getting mad easily. Hot-tempered. You know, we all know what those mean. It's foolish. And it brings about foolish behavior. And it stirs up strife. Now that's the God of heaven telling us what that does. He knows. He made us. And he knows what these things. He's wise. He's all wise. He's all knowing. And he tells us that that kind of behavior stirs up strife. It's not going to heal anything. It's not going to persuade anything. It's not going to leave a loving relationship in its wake. Wives, one who has great understanding and discretion. We're back to this discretion and understanding. And you can't get it without delving into the Word of God and praying and studying and practicing. You just don't get it in a day. They know the results. They understand the results that it can cause. But they also understand the benefits of being long-suffering and patient. And they strive to be more slow to anger and to pacify or to appease contention. They understand that. And sometimes, and really they understand that sometimes you just don't nitpick at every little thing. Our husbands, our brethren, our neighbor, our family members are going to say something they really don't mean. But, you know, what's the tongue? It's a fire. And every now and then, you know, so don't jump on it. Just forgive them and go on, you know? Now, we're not talking about someone who makes a habit that they don't need to be addressed about that, you know? But sometimes there is a passing word or sometimes Wally's tone, you know, I can even misunderstand, but or his mind, you know, or something. Just let it go. Does it matter? Just overlook it. Don't let it get in your crawl. You know? So, wives.
Sometimes it's wondering what, when say there's a passing word, and they don't even realize that they've said it.
Absolutely.
They may not even understand the situation. They think maybe you're something to say. You have to be wise enough to understand that they don't understand the situation. And you have to say, let it go or let it pass, depending on each situation.
Yes.
But sometimes it's not worth having to be right.
Exactly. Or bringing it up and causing dissension over something that doesn't really matter. You know? Thank you. Yes.
Would it be best to talk about it? Because if you keep put in a situation behind, they will understand that they keep offending you or hurting you. Would it be best to talk about it?
Absolutely. We're talking about just in passing or a word here and there. We're not talking about a general way of acting or speaking to you, you know, that is, that needs to be addressed. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good to bring that up in question. Thank you. Okay, so being given to anger does not bring about the righteousness that God wants. It doesn't bring about the right way of behavior and the right relationship, no matter if it's husband, wife, children, neighbor, that God wants. Okay? So, James says, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I'm afraid all too often I want to speak my mind instead of keeping my mouth shut. I'm not given much to anger. You know, that's not one of the devil's tools against me. You know, I'm not that person. But to open my mouth, and he's used that a lot. Okay? And slow to hear. Okay, so any other thoughts about that before we go on? We're going to rush. I'm hoping to get through. Proverbs 12:19. This is something that we really strive to teach our children, but let me tell you, we can fall into this trap. Proverbs 12. Jane, you want to read Proverbs 12, 19, 20, and 22, please.
The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight.
Proverbs 6 also mentions lying as one of the abominations of the Lord. He hates it. And so often, you know, we say, well, that doesn't affect me. You know, I don't lie. Well, unwise behavior, lying lips are for the moment. What do you think that means, for the moment? What happens when a person keeps lying, Pat?
Well, lying just don't bring more trouble. You're never going to... You're just lying with the path of heartache.
Right. And if you tell... You can't keep up with the lies you told. You know? And then, it's like the little boy who cried wolf. You know? People just start... And there are other passages that we could have looked up to prove that people don't believe anything you say after a while. And I tell you, you know, and it's wrong. It's sin, number one. The devil was a liar from the beginning. You're his child if you lie. If you shade the truth, if you go around the truth, we get caught up in solder skirting the absolute truth about something. And we don't want to face the consequences of choices that we have made that may not be according to the rules or the concepts that in our husband-wife relationship, our parents, you know, we skirt the truth. It's lying, folks, you know. And whether we try to hide it, when we have things hanging in the closet and a year later our husband, you know, says, well, you know, I haven't seen that dress before. And you said, well, you know, and then you sort of skirt around, you know, telling the truth or whatever. Or the budget has been compromised in some way because you have, you know, spent things on things that you shouldn't have done in the budget. And he questions and you don't own up. I know women who do that all the time. For shame if it ever happens with one of us. Okay. And so, wise lips are truthful lips. Counselors of peace. Not trying to always stir up trouble, too, is in that. You know, we can sort of make someone look bad. And that's getting over into some other words that the Holy Spirit talks about as being wrong. You know, in order to deceive, in order to cast a bad light on someone else. So we have to be careful to always tell the truth. To be a true witness, not to be a false witness. Those kinds of things. And like I say, not shading the truth. To sort of get through our own hurt feelings because we've been called on the carpet about something.
This goes back to the heart of man.
That's right.
If you're seeking God, you're going to have the right kind of heart.
That's true. And contentment, you know, and the right attitude towards things are, you know, towards your role and that kind of thing. That will all go in to, yes?
I was just going to say, going back to the children, you know, there are times when you think, oh, well, we're not going to tell Daddy that. Or, you know, and the first thing they do, well, Mommy said, I can't tell you, Daddy, but. Or sometimes you think, well, if they don't know, what they don't know won't hurt them. And, you know, I'll get home and, Mom, guess what? Daddy broke this. Oh, I forgot to tell.
Right.
The children see everything. So.
Yes. They see us lying on the telephone.
Yes.
They see us, you know, cheating. If people talk about cheating at work, if they come home and they talk about, you know, their bills or whatever, you know, the income tax is you know, come and gone, but I know people who cheat on their income tax. You know, they're kids. You talk when they say, you know, you tell me the truth about where you're going and who you're going to be with and all this, and they just laugh in their face. You know, what kind of respect is that? You know, they're not going to have any respect when they see their parents acting like that.
Well, they see it on the TV too.
Oh, mercy. You know, but, you know, we have to, and that's another thing, to choose wisely the programs that you allow your children to watch because they're not respectful to their parents. They lie all the time. And, of course, some of them are in bad behavior, for instance. So, good points. Any other suggestions or talks? Yes.
Well, I have one comment. I've read their things that said when you're valid.
Yes.
People who take these verses and will tell you, you know, you look better if you fix yourself up to your husband. Or, I can't believe you would read it. Nothing immodest. I just don't like the color.
Yeah.
So we think, well, it's lying. If I think it, it's a lie if I don't tell
it. Oh, no.
And so I have personally known people that you would say, you know, you don't really need to say it.
No.
I bought it. And if I think it, if the Bible says I can't lie, I said, well, just, you don't have to say it.
No.
You don't have to go out and say, I love that dress. Or, you know, I'm really glad you don't wear makeup. I think, you know, you look great. You don't have to say anything.
Exactly.
And so just because we think something and don't say it. Now, if you go up and tell them how beautiful they look and you think they look horrible, that's a lie.
Yes, it is.
But you just don't have to say anything. But
that's
I
right.
I personally know people who take these passages and feel like if it crosses their brain, if they don't say it, they're lying.
I think that falls into the point of the other verses where restrain your lips.
I agree, but they don't.
They don't see it that way. So, but that really leads into Proverbs 17:27. Let's turn there quickly. Proverbs 17:27-28. And since you brought it up, Amanda, would you read it?
27:28. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent.
Okay. And I wrote down in my notes, let's turn to chapter 10, verse 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. What's just a short way of saying, you know, the culmination of these verses? What is it?
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes it's better just to shh. No, keep your mouth shut. A fool sometimes even knows, you know, when not to open his mouth. And so, just keep your mouth shut and don't speak. Okay? And it's always good, of course, to stop and think before you open your mouth. Even if you, if there is a need to say something. Yeah.
Sometimes you've got people that like to hear themselves talk.
Exactly. Exactly. In 20a, it says, in chapter 10, the tongue of the righteous is his choice silver. Okay? So, they pick their words, they speak the right words, you know, it's in richly spoken. Okay? It's gained. It's good. Okay? And in 21a, this whole section here in Proverbs 10 is about lips, if you ever want to go read all this. 21a, the lips of the righteous feed many. They're nurturing, they're nourishing, they feed, they don't tear down. Okay? And verse 31, the mouth of the righteous, or the wise, flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Back to wise words. We talked about kindness. We talked about sweetness of speech. We talked about, you know, our approach and this. So, now, we come to two... Any questions or comments about that? We come to two women in the Bible that the Holy Spirit has given us that talk about how these women used their speech. And, of course, their attitude is seen through what they say and how they say it. In 1 Samuel 25, we all know the story. It's Abigail. And she's speaking to David. And we will... Everyone knows this. We're not going to take the time to read the whole section. She's doing it for David's good because he is the God's anointed. He's fixing to take vengeance for selfish reasons. And she gets off her donkey. She bows to the ground. She is respectful. She speaks in a respectful way. But by her words, David said, which one of these women was a blessing? Abigail.
Abigail.
Pat, if you have 1 Samuel 25, could you quickly read what David says to Abigail? Blessed.
And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you to me this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging my own hand.
Okay. Blessed. You want to be a blessing to all around us? Speak wise words. Speak with the right heart. Speak for the good of others. This is Abigail. Job's wife. We all know. I mean, it's one little short verse in the Bible. What did Job tell? I mean, what did Job's wife tell Job? Curse God and die. That much of a blessing? She didn't hold his integrity in respect. She didn't hold God in respect. She didn't hold seeking God's help in respect. She just said, curse God and die. Not lips of knowledge and wisdom. Not lips of love. Just curse God and die. We don't have to say curse God and die sometimes. But by our words, we can have the same effect. Okay. The excellent wife in Proverbs 31. She spoke in wisdom and with kindness. She feared the Lord. She clothed herself with strength and dignity. And she was worthy of praise. And how she acted and how she spoke, how she was to her husband, her family, her children, and to her neighbor. I have one more that we're going to add right quickly because in finishing up. Let's turn to Proverbs 22 because it deals with all of us. Proverbs 22:1. We approach this a lot when raising our children. But if first we don't have this, how do we expect them? It's like lying. You know, if we don't tell the truth, speak truth in the right way, it's like a mistake. Verse 1 of chapter 22. A good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor is better than gold and silver. Being in favor, being appreciated, being associated with that which is good. Influence on others, looking at how you perform your life. How you speak, influence on husband, influence on children, influence on brethren, influence on neighbor, of one who professes to follow Jesus. A good name. Jesus had, of course, the greatest name above all names, we learn in Philippians 2. For to follow him, what kind of name are we making? What kind of name are we making? Are we following after Jesus? You know, in 1 Peter 2:12, it says that our behavior should be excellent among the Gentiles. So that in account of your good behavior, glorify God in the day of visitation. Are we going to be wise or are we going to be foolish? In closing, we have looked at Jesus, we talked about better, what the Holy Spirit says. We've looked at Jesus being better in all respects on heaven, in heaven and on earth. We looked at God's wisdom being better than world wisdom. Not the I think, I thought, the norm of the world, even what? Grandma, grandpa, you know. It doesn't line up with God's wisdom. It's better if we listen to God's word. And if it's better to listen to God's word, are we making ourselves available to God's word? Are we humbly, respectfully bowing to his word and trying to make corrections in our life? Jesus said one thing. You call me Lord, Lord. You do what I say. That was the wise man. Sounds from the Sermon on the Mount. So, are we going to follow the devil? You know what? When we fail in these things, the devil loves us to fail. He doesn't like it when we do right. When we fail, as much as the devil loves us failing, you know what he hates? It's just three little words, maybe even five. Probably five. I was wrong. Ever catch yourself having to say that? I'm sorry. Then those other two little words. Forgive me. You know, we're going to be so arrogant and so caught up in ourselves that we don't say that to our husbands, to our children, when we've made a false assumption or, you know, reacted badly. I'm sorry. The devil hates it. And then do better. Susan, would you read one last verse and we'll stop. Let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is where we started, after we got through with Jesus.
I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to
to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
And Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Be faithful, and I'll give you a crown of life. Any other comments?
The only comment I would have in trying to attain this thing is if you have a thing, I do, what can I study? What can I look at on a personal level? It's good to study the classes, but until we learn to study personally, we're not really going to grow.
Right.
Read the book of Proverbs and mark in it everything that pertains to the tongue. I think you will find that there are no more than five, maybe six chapters that do not deal with the tongue or have something to say about the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've done that before, and I found it a very rewarding experience and helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of things in it, and the words you need to look for are not only like lips and tongue, but scoffers. That's what a scoffer does. They use their mouth to make fun of. And so look at the family of words, and it's a very enriching study.
Yes, to help us in our own self, in training our children, and in dealing with the world, and helping our children to deal with those children at school who have parents who do not love God, do not follow His wisdom, and so they're growing up to be, you know, followers, not of Jesus, but of followers of the devil. And let us not fall trap to being a guide to that. Any other comments?